This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Wa sallallahu wa sallam wa baraka al-amdihi wa rasulihi nabina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Amma ba'd, ahlan wa sahlan wa marhaban bikum. Your brother in Islam, Bilal Ismail of the Al-Kawthar Institute and Imam Development Project, Hayyakum Allah. We continue bi'idhnillahi ta'ala. We now move on to hadith number 9 of the 40 ahadith of Imam An-Nawawi rahimahullah. Hadith al-Tasi' عن أبي هريرة عبد الرحمن ابن صخر رضي الله تعالى عنه قال سمعت رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يقول On the authority of Abu Huraira, عبد الرحمن ابن صخر May Allah be pleased with him Who said I heard the messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم saying ما نهيتكم عنه فاجتنبوا What I have forbidden you Avoid وَمَا أَمَرْتُكُمْ بِهِ فَأْتُوا مِنْهُ مَا اسْتَطَعْتُمْ And what I have ordered you to do, do as much of it as you can. فَإِنَّمَا أَهْلَكَ الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِكُمْ كَثْرَةُ مَسَائِلِهِمْ And the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam then stated that it was only their excessive questioning and their disagreeing with their prophets that destroyed the people before you. Two matters. They كَثْرَةُ مَسَائِلِهِمْ Asking too many unnecessary questions and deferring with the anbiya, thus they were destroyed. Hadith reported by Imam al-Bukhari and Imam Muslim. بِإِذْنِ اللَّهِ تَعَالَى Brothers and sisters, the explanation, the sharh of this hadith, insha'Allah. Imam al-Nawawi brings it as the ninth hadith. Super important. The takhrij of this hadith, number one. Hadith reported by Imam al-Bukhari and Imam Muslim. We find it in the Musnad of Imam Ahmad. We find it even in the book of Imam al-Shafi'i, Kitab al-Umm, and with others. So the takhrij, authentic, no doubt about that, walhamdulillah. And that's the hukum on that hadith. As for the narrator, brothers and sisters, Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala an. This is the first instance where we are coming across this narrator in these ahadith which have already passed. We've dealt with Umar radiallahu ta'ala an. We dealt with Abu Ruqayya Tamim ibn Awsin al-Dari radiallahu ta'ala an. We dealt with Abdullah ibn Umar Nu'man ibn Bashir. But this is the first instance where this scholar In reality, he was an alim, no doubt. He was a qadi. Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala an is mentioned. He was that companion. He was that sahabi of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. What was his name? We all know him as Abu Huraira. What does Abu Huraira mean? Abu means father and Huraira hir, meaning the cat. Father of the cat. Why is he called father of the cat? Did he have a kid whose name was cat? No, subhanallah. Rather, he would play with these kittens. Some narrations, he would have them in his sleeve. And thus, Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam called him Abahir, father of the cat. And that name stuck with him, walhamdulillah. And so he became famous by that kunya, Abu Huraira. As for his name, then we have plus minus 27 opinions with regards to the name of Abu Huraira. And most of the ulama state that it was Abdul Rahman ibn Sakhr al-Dawsi. Why do they have so much of ikhtilaf? Why do they have so much of differences with regards to his name? Because he became super famous by that kunya Abu Huraira. You know, sometimes in your local community, the local masjid, etc., there's a brother and everybody calls him, for example, a Joe. When you said to your father that, you know what, Ahmed is ill, Who's Ahmed? I don't know Ahmed. Joe. Oh, khalas. I understand who you're talking about. Why did you not say Joe? Everybody knows him by that nickname. Everybody knows him by Joe. And so the same occurred with Abu Huraira. Everyone knew him as Abu Huraira. And thus, his actual name, you know, went missing, subhanAllah. His actual name was forgotten. He became Muslim in the year 7. After the hijrah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, 7 AH, he became Muslim. So subhanallah, the 13 years of Makkah al-Mukarrama, the trials, the tribulations that the Muslims underwent, was Abu Huraira around there? No, he was not. He was not even Muslim at that time. Battle of Badr, Battle of Uhud, etc. Abu Huraira was not Muslim, subhanallah. He only embraced Islam in the year 7 AH. That means 7 AH, 8 AH, 9 AH, and 10 AH. These were the only years that he spent with the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Subhanallah. We know after the Hajj in the year 10 AH, Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, very soon after, in the year 11 AH, after Hijrah, he had passed away. So Abu Hurairah at most was with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam between 3 and 4 years. But how come it is that he narrates so many ahadith from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam? وَالْمُكْثِرُونَ فِي رِوَايَةِ الْأَثَرِ أَبُو هُرَيْرَ يَلِيهِ إِبْنْ عُمَرِ. And the poet, he says that those who narrate the most number of ahadith, number one, Abu Hurairah. And then after him comes Abdullah ibn Umar. How many ahadith did he narrate? 5,374 ahadith, subhanallah. Massive amount of ahadith. But, ya Abdullah, ya Amatullah, we find that many of the scholars, when they would add up ahadith, they would look at it based upon the changes of narration. And if, for example, you have إِنَّمَا الْأَعْمَالُ بِالنِّيَاتِ, or you have the hadith of Jibreel, or any hadith for that matter, if it has 10, 20, 30 different chains, then they would say that so-and-so has memorized 30 ahadith. So-and-so memorized the hadith and it has 40 chains. Then technically they would state he memorized and he narrated 40 ahadith. And so there's a difference between the matan, which is the text, and the chain. Brothers and sisters, Abu Hurairah, due to the fact that he narrates so many ahadith, 5,374, he has been in the crosshairs of many. He has been the target of many an attack. You have a book in the marketplace called Abu Hurairah the Liar, subhanallah. Abu Hurairah the Liar, Inna lillah wa inna ilayhi raji'un. They try to discredit Abu Hurairah. Why? Because he narrates so many ahadith. If you discredit him, then much of the sunnah goes down the drain. But they wouldn't pick on, you know, this companion who narrates one or two ahadith here or there or something like that. No, rather they go for the giant. In reality, they're not worried about Abu Hurairah, but they want to attack the deen. And they use Abu Hurairah. They find him to be an easy target to attack. He embraced Islam in 7 AH. He only with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam a few years. How could he narrate so many ahadith? They state, Allahu musta'an. Ya Abdullah, ya Amat Allah. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam made dua with regards to the hifz of Abu Hurairah. Made dua with regards to the memorization of Abu Hurairah. Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, during this period, Abu Hurairah was with him a lot of the time. Abu Hurairah was from the Ahlus Sufa. He was not somebody who had a job and he had a marketplace, etc. And he was a farmer or something. No, he was there living in the masjid, very, very close to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And thus he was around the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam during those last few years. He was around him for a lot of the time. Abu Hurairah radiallahu ta'ala an, he did not participate, he did not take part in any of the wars of fitna, the wars of the battle of Siffin, the battle of Jamal, etc. He stayed away from all of that. And he passed away in Medina al-Munawwara in the year 57 or 59 AH. This was this scholar, this alim, this amir with regards to narration of ahadith, Abu Hurairah radiallahu ta'ala an. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala resurrect us in the company of Abu Hurairah on Yawm al-Qiyamah. Ya Abdullah, ya Amat Allah, that was the narrator number two. We now move on to number three, the importance and the reason behind this hadith. As for importance, Imam Abu Dawood states that this hadith, one of the five that fiqh revolves around. Remember, إِنَّمَا الْأَعْمَالُ بِالنِّيَاتِ, and many other ahadith, many scholars have stated these ahadith, Islam revolves around those ahadith. Excellent. They are super, super important. As for this hadith, then fiqh revolves around this hadith. One of the five ahadith that fiqh revolves around. What's the story behind this hadith? Our Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, قَدْ فَرَضَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْكُمُ الْحَجُّ فَحُجُّ. Allah has obliged hajj upon you people and so perform the hajj. So khalas. But one companion, he said, Ya Rasulullah, أَكُلُّ عَامٍ
every single year do we have to perform the Hajj? Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was silent. He asked a second time, silent. He asked a third time. Then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that, you know, you people asking questions like this, if you continue, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would oblige it upon you people, and then you will find it difficult. Don't ask these type of questions. Do not ask these unnecessary type of questions. You will only put yourself into extra burden. So this hadith, and that is the reason behind the hadith, this hadith reported by Imam, by the Sunan Al-Arba', Abu Dawud, Tirmidhi, An-Nasa'i, and Ibn Majah. Brothers and sisters, as for the explanation, مَا نَهَيْتُكُمْ, whatever I forbid you, فَاجْتَنِبُوا, stay away from it. Prohibit you, whatever I forbid you from, whatever I prohibit you from, stay away from it. But remember, we know that you have two levels of prohibitions. You have two types of forbidden matters. You have nahi at-tahreem and nahi karaha. We have something which is haram, strictly prohibited. And we have something which is makruh, disliked. We would say it's better to avoid it, but it's not strictly prohibited. So there's a distinction. So here Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam is talking about the matters of haram, talking about those matters which are strictly prohibited. Whatever ma nahaytukum, whatever you people have been strictly prohibited from indulging it, fajtanibu, stay away from it completely. Wama amartukum bihi fa'tu minhu mastata'tum. And whatever I've ordered you people with an order, similarly, you have two levels of orders. You have amr ijab, you have an order which is an obligation, it is strict, it is mandatory. And we have an order which is nadab, which is recommended, something which we would call mustahab, something which is mandub and recommended. So I repeat, prohibitions are on two levels, strictly prohibited and disliked. As for orders, also on two levels. You have orders which are an obligation, and we have orders which are recommendations. Brothers and sisters, what should be our attitude with regards to this matter? Our attitude should not be, is this fard or is this mustahab? Is it an obligation or is it something recommended? Is this matter makruh or is it haram, etc.? We should not be doing that. We should not be asking that. Rather, we should do as the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam did, and we should avoid as the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam avoided. Yes, when we make an error, when we fall into a mistake, then we can ask, oh, well, was it makruh, was it haram? So we know how to sort out matters. We know how to put right the wrongs. But initially, we should avoid all the strictly prohibited and the makruh, and we should do all that which has been strictly ordered upon us and that which is the recommendation. We know, for example, the Sahaba, they would just do as the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam did. Sami'na wa ata'na, we hear and we obey. That was their attitude. Brothers and sisters, we find, for example, that individual, he was a doctor at a hospital, Pakistani doctor, and there was an individual who was ill, and he had a visitor, and the Pakistani doctor got busy talking to this guy, and he finds out that this guy is some sheikh, some big sheikh at the Islamic University. And so he asks him, I mean, big sheikh like you, sheikh, you know what, you don't have a beard. And so the sheikh says, well, you see, you know, this matter is not an obligation, rather this matter, the custom and the norms of the people, etc., etc. This doctor says, you know what, sheikh, you know, you're confusing me now. Just simply, you know, I'm a simple man, just answer me one question. The Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, was he like you or was he like me? Am I like him or are you like him? That's all I want to know, subhanAllah. And that's the crux of the matter. That's the tip of the iceberg. And that's the most important matter. That's the pinnacle, brothers and sisters. I want to do as he did. I want to do as he did. And so the Pakistani doctor says, am I like the Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Or are you like him? We get lost in the mustahab and the wajib and the makruh and the haram and all of these matters, when in reality our attitude should be, as is mentioned in the Noble Quran, سَمِعْنَا وَأَطَعْنَا. I have heard and I have obeyed. Brothers and sisters, we find that this hadith here, whatever I order you to do, then do it to the best of your ability. Whatever I forbid you, stay away from it completely. The ulama have extracted certain maxims, certain legal maxims, legal rules. For example, in an order, do what you can and then leave what you can't. Stand and pray. But my legs are really, really paining. No problem, then you can sit. I can't really sit. No problem, you can lie down. Do to the best of your ability. The rule is, do what you can do and leave what you can't. You're flying on the plane and you need to go and stand at the back and you need to perform your salah. So no problem, you went there, you got permission. They said, no problem, you can stand here and you can pray. Excellent. But suddenly, subhanAllah, you know what, there's turbulence and they come to you and they tell you, you need to get back to your seat. And so now, for the next half an hour, 1 hour, nobody is allowed to stand up, nobody is allowed to walk around. What do? You need to pray your salah, and so you can pray while seated. You have an excuse. This is an order. You do to the best of your ability. فَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ مَا اسْتَطَعْتُمْ. Fear Allah to the best of your ability. Pray while standing. If you can't stand, then you sit down. If you can't sit, then on your side. Face towards the Qibla. You don't know where the Qibla is. Exert yourself to the best of your ability and then work it out to the best of your ability. You might get it right, you might get it wrong, and then you pray. You don't have enough of water, you don't have water, period, and so I cannot pray. No, you can still pray, brother. And so you make your tayammum and you perform your salah. Excellent. Walhamdulillah. So that maxim, that legal maxim, in an order, you do what you can and you leave what you can't. Jaid, the rule is, do not allow what's outside of your ability to prevent you from doing what is within your ability. Brother says, you know what, I get tired when, for example, I walk to the masjid. I don't have a car, I don't have this, I don't have that, etc. I'm unable to go to the masjid. No problem, brother. You have an illness, you have an excuse, then you pray in the house. You do what you can do and you leave what you can't. Excellent. Walhamdulillah. مَا نَهَيْتُكُمْ عَنْهُ فَاجْتَنِبُوهُ وَمَا أَمَرْتُكُمْ بِهِ فَأْتُوا مِنْهُ مَا اسْتَطَعْتُمْ. We find, for example, when we say do what you can, do what you can. You only have a quarter cup of water. So begin taking your wudu with that. It might finish. And then you make tayammum. So you did what you were able to do. You used the water until it was finished. And then you performed your tayammum. But subhanAllah, sometimes you are unable to do a portion of that order. Because a portion of that order doesn't really work out. Example, we don't say to somebody that, you know what, brother, you know, you cannot fast the entire day, so no problem, you just fast a quarter of the day. You just fast half the day. You know, that would suffice for you. No, there's no such thing as half a fast. We don't say to somebody, you know what, you don't have enough of wealth to get you all the way to Mecca for Hajj, but you have enough to get you to Dubai. So you fly all the way to Dubai and khalas, and then you come back. You do what you can, and then you leave the rest. No, going to Dubai and coming back, this is not, you know, part and parcel of the Hajj. This is no type of ibadah or anything like that. Similarly with regards to fasting half the day. Yes, there are some matters where you do what you can do. You do the half, you do the quarter, you do the three quarter, etc. And other matters, لا يتباعض, you know, the a portion of it does not work at all. We find, subhanAllah, that the wording, مَا نَهَيْتُكُمْ عَنْهُ فَاجْتَنِبُوا. Whatever I forbid you, stay away from it completely. Whatever I order you, do it to the best of your ability. Look at the difference between both of them. What I forbid you, stay away completely. Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam didn't say, whatever I forbid you, then stay away from it to the best of your ability. He never said that. He said, whatever I forbid you, stay away from it completely. Whatever I order you to do, then you do it to the best of your ability. Subhanallah. So when it comes to staying away from the haram, we stay away from the haram completely. We don't say, I cannot really manage. I won't drink 1 liter of alcohol. I'll drink just quarter of the liter. No. Haram, you stay away from it completely. I'll only look with one eye at the haram. I'll keep the other eye closed. I'll just look a little bit. No, when it comes to the haram, you stay away from it completely. You have within yourself the ability to stay away from the haram completely. But as for the orders, well, this is based upon your ability. Maybe you might be able to fulfill it completely, maybe not. So you do what you can and you leave what you can't. But the haram, you stay away completely. Thus, most of the ulama state that staying away from haram is more important than the ordered deeds. I repeat, most ulama state that staying away from the haram is more important than performing those deeds which we have been ordered to do. Staying away from the haram is more important than doing the ordered deeds. This here is generally the rule. This is generally the rule. We find that some scholars differed. Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah, Ibn al-Qayyim differed. They said, no, rather, leaving the order is worse than doing the haram. Proof? They said, well, look at Adam alayhi salam and Iblis. Adam alayhi salam, he was told and he was prohibited from eating from the tree. And he fell into that sin. He fell into that sin and he ate from the tree. Whereas Iblis was ordered to make sajda and he refused and he got eternal damnation. So they said here, look there, that the order which was given to Iblis was a heavier matter. And his non-compliance was worse than Adam alayhi salam eating from that tree, which was a prohibition upon him. So this was the understanding of Ibn Taymiyyah and Ibn al-Qayyim, whereas majority of the ulama state that staying away from the haram is more important than performing the ordered deeds. And that's why, brothers and sisters, before the break, we leave you with the statement to ponder over, subhanallah. One of the pious scholars of the past, he said that, the one who is, says that the orders, the paying zakah and the fasting and the siyam and the salah and all of these matters, he says the good people do it and the evil people do it. Everybody does it, walhamdulillah. But staying away from the haram, only the truthful ones do this. The orders, everybody does, but the prohibitions, only the truthful ones with Allah lower the gaze. Stay away from the haram. Stay away from the zina. Staying away from the gossip and the backbiting. Stay away from the riba, etc. Only the truthful ones, subhanallah. Bi-idhnillahi ta'ala, we return after a short break. Hayyakum Allah. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Ya Abdullah, ya Amat Allah. Hadith number 9. مَا نَهَيْتُكُمْ عَنْهُ فَاجْتَنِبُوا. Whatever I prohibit you, stay away from it completely. وَمَا أَمَرْتُكُمْ بِهِ فَأْتُوا مِنْهُ مَا اسْتَطَعْتُمْ. Whatever I order you to do it to the best of your ability. Who said this? Our Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Who narrated this hadith? Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala an. Excellent. Brothers and sisters, we learned from this that when it comes to the staying away from the haram, majority of the ulama state that this is more important than the orders. They state that everyone does the orders, but only the truthful ones stay away from the haram. اتَّقِ الْمَحَارِمِ اتَّقِ الْمَحَارِمِ تَكُنْ أَعْبَدَ النَّاسِ. Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said to Abu Huraira that stay away from the matters of haram and you will be the greatest of worshippers. Hadith reported by Imam al-Tirmidhi. Thus, do not be lax with prohibitions. Something that we forget about, brothers and sisters. MashaAllah, we gave some sadaqah and we did this and we did that and we prayed the Hajjud Salah, walhamdulillah. But we forget about certain actions, certain haram actions that we might fall into, which not only that they are written for us as a sin, but they also destroy our good deeds. إحباط of our عمل, that they destroy good deeds. You might, for example, have lied, and this destroys 10 days of good deeds. You might have done certain haram, and it destroys a mountain of your good deeds. Beware of that. Sometimes we think, well, you know what, I do a bit of haram here, there, and a lot here, there, and everywhere, but I also do this good, and so in reality, in the scales, my good are more. In reality, subhanAllah, many a times, these evil deeds can destroy our good deeds. So do not be lax with the prohibitions. Somebody is using the miswak, but subhanAllah, they are busy backbiting people. Somebody, for example, is using the miswak, but unfortunately they are eating haram. Allahu musta'an. Somebody is performing, alhamdulillah, 20 rak'ahs of salatul taraweeh, but busy in their dealing with riba. This individual's MashaAllah has sunnah beard, walhamdulillah, but behind the scenes busy with zina. This sister, MashaAllah, in hijab, but in reality when she's with her friends, gossip here and backbiting and slander, this one, that one, left, right and center. Inna lillah wa inna ilayhi raji'un. Ya Abdullah, ya Amatullah, if somebody asks, is there a strict rule that the prohibitions, staying away from prohibitions, are given preference over the orders? We say no. There's no strict rule. Majority of the scholars had the opinion. Ibn Taymiyyah, Ibn al-Qayyim, on the other side, different opinion. The haqq in reality is that orders yatafawat, and prohibitions also yatafawat. That the orders are different in their levels, and prohibitions are also different in their levels. An individual stealing from another, this is wrong. Stealing from the orphan is even worse, subhanAllah. Somebody is committing zina with a strange woman, and somebody is committing zina with his neighbor's wife, that's even worse, Allahu musta'an. So there are levels. Your sunnah salah, your eid salah, your fard salah of salatul fajr, they are different in the levels of them being orders. And so that also should be taken cognizance of. Ya Abdullah, ya Amatullah, our Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam continues and he states, فَإِنَّمَا أَهْلَكَ الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِكُمْ, for verily that which destroyed the people before you, كَثْرَةُ مَسَائِلِهِمْ, them asking too many questions, unnecessary questions. There's no benefit in those questions. There's no need for that question. Many a times they are mockingly asking those questions. You ask the question because you just want to, check the sheikh out. You want to check him whether he knows, whether he does not know. You want to, for example, put yourself above him. You want to put him into a corner. You want to ask uncomfortable questions, etc. You want to ask questions which have no benefit whatsoever. Allah musta'an. Allah states, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا لَا تَسْأَلُوا عَنْ أَشْيَاءَ إِن تُبْدَ لَكُمْ تَسُؤْكُمْ, that do not ask about matters that if it's made clear to you, it's going to put you into problems. Allahu musta'an. Surah Ma'ida. We find that many of the Sahaba, they disliked theoretical questions. You know, matters which haven't really occurred. What if this, what if that, what if this, what if that, etc. They didn't like that. We find Umar radiallahu ta'ala didn't like that. Zayd ibn Thabit, Imam al-Sha'bi, Malik radiallahu ta'ala, Imam Malik, they did not like any of that. In fact, subhanAllah, when people came with certain, questions, you know, questions that they should not be asking. The sifat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, tell me about the how. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala hears. Allah sees. Well, I also hear and I see. Does it mean that Allah's hearing and my hearing is the same, etc., etc.? This man, he comes and he talks about istiwa. Kayfa istawa? How did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, make istiwa? And so what did Imam Malik? Imam Malik got angry and he says, the kayf is majhul. Wasu'al anhu bid'ah. And to ask these type of questions, this is an innovation. Allahu musta'an. Sahaba were very careful. Many of them would wait for strangers to come, so strangers would ask questions. Because remember, brothers and sisters, we are talking about while the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was alive. You ask certain questions, then maybe Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala obliges something. You ask, Ya Rasulullah, eating this, doing this, etc., is it an obligation? Then Allah might make it an obligation upon you. So beware, be careful, subhanallah. But if somebody has sincere intention, they're not asking just to be different, like a rebel, etc. They're asking because they have, a valid
reason to ask, then there's no problem with that. فَاسْأَلُوا أَهْلَ ذِكْرِ إِن كُنْتُمْ لَا تَعْلَمُونَ. Ask the people of knowledge if you do not know. But as for, like, for example, Banu Israel, when they were told to slaughter a cow, what type of cow? What color cow? This question, that question, this question, that question. SubhanAllah. If only they just said سَمِعْنَا وَأَطَعْنَا, went out, got the first cow that they found, slaughtered it, they would have obeyed the order. But they began asking this and that, etc., etc. And some ulama state that they were doing this because asking more and more and more and more and more and more, and more questions. Why? Because like sometimes with insan, you ask him too many questions, he says, you know what, just leave it. Just forget about the whole matter, just leave it. So they might have been expecting the same response from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that ask more questions. Eventually it would be said to them, you know what, just leave it and don't worry about it. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. We find, for example, Ali radiallahu ta'ala, and he states that one of the signs of the final hour, إِذَا تُفُقِّهَا لِغَيْرِ الدِّينِ, that when people seek knowledge for a reason besides the deen, وَتُعِلِّمْ لِغَيْرِ الْعَمَلِ, and they study not to practice. So they're asking and they are studying and they're researching and they're learning, but not to put into practice. وَالْتُمِسَتِ الدُّنْيَا بِعَمَلِ الْآخِرَةِ, and the dunya is sought with the actions of the hereafter. Allahu musta'an. Heavy words from Ali radiallahu ta'ala. When a person increases their knowledge for other reasons, not for deen. إِذَا تُفُقِّهَا لِغَيْرِ الدِّينِ وَتُعُلِّمَ لِغَيْرِ الْعَمَلِ, and they study not to put into practice, and they seek the dunya through the actions of the hereafter. SubhanAllah. This asking unnecessary ta'annud time of questions destroyed the people before you. They were deferring, they were bickering, they were quarreling, asking what cow, this cow, that cow, etc. The believers, they submit, سَمِعْنَا وَأَطَعْنَا. SubhanAllah, there was a man, there was the Prophet Ibrahim alayhi salam. Ibrahim alayhi salam, he was ordered in a dream to slaughter his son, and he accepted, سَمِعْنَا وَأَطَعْنَا, and he went out. These people were ordered to slaughter a cow. The entire Banu Israel, not just one individual, Banu Israel. But subhanAllah, they begin asking questions. None of them were سَمِعْنَا وَأَطَعْنَا, we hear and we obey. Look at the contrast. Look at the difference. Look at the example of the one who's in obedience to the one who's in disobedience. يَا عَبْدَ اللَّهِ يَا أَمَتَ اللَّهِ. The Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam then continues, وَاخْتِلَافُهُمْ عَلَىٰ أَنْبِيَائِهِمْ, and they're deferring and they're bickering with the anbiya, like in the incident of the cow and many other incidents, subhanAllah. That leader, just like in our salah, we have the imam, and we do not go before the imam. Similarly with regards to your Nabi, who is that leader, you should have the attitude of سَمِعْنَا وَأَطَعْنَا, we hear and we obey. Brothers and sisters, the companion was entering the masjid. Prophet ﷺ said, sit to somebody else. And he just sat. As has been said, the companions, they would do because it's a sunnah. Why are you doing this, brother? It's a sunnah. The sahaba would do because it was sunnah. And many a times we leave it out. We do not do it because we say it is a sunnah. SubhanAllah. Look at the contrast. Look at the contrast. Look at the difference between them and us. Allahu musta'an. كَثْرَةُ مَسَائِلِهِمْ وَاخْتِلَافُهُمْ عَلَىٰ أَنْبِيَائِهِمْ, and they're differing with the anbiya. There's also other related issues to this hadith. We have the legal maxim derived from this hadith, الْمَشَقَّ تَجْلِبُ التَّيْسِيرِ, that difficulty gives rise to ease. Difficulty gives rise to ease. The words of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, whatever I order you, do it to the best of your ability. So if you have no ability, you do what you can do. So when you're in difficulty, then you are given the rukhsa. You do what you can do and you leave what you can't. There's also the other maxim, دَرْءُ الْمَفَاسِدْ مُقَدَّمَ عَلَى جَلْبِ الْمَصَالِحِ, that avoiding the mafasid, the haram, is given preference to attainment of good. Somebody says, for example, you know what, alcohol has a lot of good in it, but we give preference to the avoidance of the great harm in that alcohol, and thus that's given preference over the good that might be there. We acknowledge there might definitely be good in the consumption of alcohol, but staying away from the evil is given preference over the attainment of that good. We also find that other fawaid, other benefits from this hadith, that do to the best of your ability. Aim for the sky, aim for the stars, subhanallah. Avoid unnecessary questions and avoid the haram completely. Nobody can say, well, you know what, it wasn't within my ability to stay away from lying. It wasn't within my ability to stay away from zina. It was not within my ability to lower my gaze, etc. No, when it comes to the matters of haram, Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam states, avoid them all completely. We also learn from this hadith that we should prioritize the priorities. We should put the priorities first. Do what you can, do the most important matters, and leave the other matters which you are unable to attain. Wallahu ta'ala a'lam, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. Brothers and sisters, with that, we come to the end of hadith al-tasi', hadith number 9. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us khair and barakah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the best in this world and in the hereafter. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive our sins committed in the brightness of the day and in the darkness of the night. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the best in this world and in the hereafter. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us knowledge which is beneficial, which is a proof for us and not a proof against us. Until we meet again, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala, your brother in Islam, Bilal Ismail, hayyakum Allah. Hatha wa sallallahu wa sallam wa baraka ala abdihi wa rasulihi nabina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.